Listening, Unit 6, page 88, C.
You will hear five short extracts in which different people talk about different kinds of currencies. Task 1. For questions 1 to 5, choose from the list, A to H, the person who is speaking. Task 2. For questions 6 to 10, choose from the list, A to H, the main disadvantage of the currency mentioned by each speaker. While you listen, you must complete both tasks. Speaker 1.
We used to have Zimbabwean dollars, but they abolished them back in 2009 because of the hyperinflation. Back then, a $1 trillion note wasn't even enough for a bus fare. Now they are bringing in something called bond notes, and everyone thinks these will go the same way. I have a market stall, and if my customers pay me in bond notes, how can I pay my suppliers? They want dollars, not this money, so it's no use to me. People here would rather use real money than this kind of note, which we call ghost money.
Speaker 2.
I'm in IT. And when I'm not writing software for banks and other financial institutions, I love gaming. I use Bitcoin quite a lot. It's the most famous digital currency, and it's accepted by a surprising number of companies for payment. You can also pay people really easily. I mean, transactions are fast and safe when you know their Bitcoin address. Unlike conventional currencies, Bitcoin isn't issued by central banks or controlled by governments, and all transactions are completely anonymous, a factor that appeals to a lot of users. The software needed to use it is pretty complicated, though, which probably puts a lot of people off using it.
Speaker 3.
After retiring from teaching, I was keen to do some kind of volunteering. I was going to volunteer in a local school, helping children to read, but then I discovered the time bank. It's not really volunteering as we know it, because you get rewarded for your time. It's a very fair system, because everyone's time is worth the same. I can help a child with their homework for an hour, say, and get an hour's worth of gardening work or hairdressing in return. Of course, it's the labour that is shared, and it works for services but not goods. You have to buy any materials that are needed, but the service is free, provided you have given your time too.
Speaker 4.
I accept the Bristol Pound. Yes, of course I do. In my cafe, lots of customers use it to pay. It's a great idea, I think, because it keeps the money flowing inside our local economy and helps our town, Bristol, to grow. A lot of money stays inside the town and goes back to support our local community in this way. It stops money literally leaking out of the area. For people who don't live here, that could be a disadvantage, as it's not legal tender. Obviously, they'd have to spend all their local currency before leaving the area, the same way as tourists do when they leave a holiday resort abroad.
Speaker 5.
It's a great thing now with the internet. There are loads of good sites where you can swap your unwanted stuff. Antiques traders are all over these sites, of course, looking for bargains that they can then sell on in their shops. For me, well, I'm an amateur, and I've been collecting stamps since I was a lad. I've got a pretty large collection, but I'm always on the lookout for the odd ones that are missing. On the swap site, I can swap my unwanted stamps for some that I do want. Sometimes I swap other collectibles like medals and coins too. In this way, it's a hobby that doesn't cost me money. The main problem is that you have to spend hours online searching for what you want, and it's often hard to find the exact swap you need.
Now listen again. Speaker 1.
We used to have Zimbabwean dollars, but they abolished them back in 2009 because of the hyperinflation. Back then, a $1 trillion note wasn't even enough for a bus fare. Now they are bringing in something called bond notes, and everyone thinks these will go the same way. I have a market stall, and if my customers pay me in bond notes, how can I pay my suppliers? They want dollars, not this money. So it's no use to me. People here would rather use real money than this kind of note, which we call ghost money.
Speaker 2.
I'm in IT, and when I'm not writing software for banks and other financial institutions, I love gaming. I use Bitcoin quite a lot. It's the most famous digital currency, and it's accepted by a surprising number of companies for payment. You can also pay people really easily. I mean, transactions are fast and safe when you know their Bitcoin address. Unlike conventional currencies, Bitcoin isn't issued by central banks or controlled by governments, and all transactions are completely anonymous, a factor that appeals to a lot of users. The software needed to use it is pretty complicated, though, which probably puts a lot of people off using it.
Speaker 3.
After retiring from teaching, I was keen to do some kind of volunteering. I was going to volunteer in a local school, helping children to read, but then I discovered the time bank. It's not really volunteering as we know it, because you get rewarded for your time. It's a very fair system, because everyone's time is worth the same. I can help a child with their homework for an hour, say, and get an hour's worth of gardening work or hairdressing in return. Of course, it's the labour that is shared and it works for services but not goods. You have to buy any materials that are needed, but the service is free, provided you have given your time too.
Speaker 4.
I accept the Bristol Pound. Yes, of course I do. In my cafe, lots of customers use it to pay. It's a great idea, I think, because it keeps the money flowing inside our local economy and helps our town, Bristol, to grow. A lot of money stays inside the town and goes back to support our local community in this way. It stops money literally leaking out of the area. For people who don't live here, that could be a disadvantage, as it's not legal tender. Obviously, they'd have to spend all their local currency before leaving the area, the same way as tourists do when they leave a holiday resort abroad.
Speaker 5.
It's a great thing now with the internet. There are loads of good sites where you can swap your unwanted stuff. Antiques traders are all over these sites, of course, looking for bargains that they can then sell on in their shops. For me, well, I'm an amateur, and I've been collecting stamps since I was a lad. I've got a pretty large collection, but I'm always on the lookout for the odd ones that are missing. On the swap site, I can swap my unwanted stamps for some that I do want. Sometimes I swap other collectibles like medals and coins too. In this way, it's a hobby that doesn't cost me money. The main problem is that you have to spend hours online searching for what you want, and it's often hard to find the exact swap you need.